Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. When I listened to the book of Sirach this morning about how to win friends and be to be liked by your friends, I thought of that book, that classic book that was written by Dale Carnegie back many, probably 50 plus years ago. Do you remember what it was called? Anyone? How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? All the older people, none of the younger people have a clue what we're talking about. I just want you to know. But the book, if you remember, it was a book basically written by Dale Carnegie trying to explain how to be actually be nice and kind and polite to people. He had several premises, several sort of little summary of it, but basically it was number one I always remember was smile. People like to be smiled at. And if you smile, you'll win friends because people like to have people who are always smiling. Number one. Number two, he said, listen to them talk, especially about their favorite subject, which is themselves. That's the top two things. And the third one, I can't remember. There's a couple more, but I always remember that. But that is true. If we smile and we listen to people and we humble ourselves in that way by letting them tell their story, that they will enjoy our company. People go on and say, oh, they're wonderful people, those. When it's all they did is listen to their stories. But Sirach has got a whole, it reminds me of Dale Carnegie and says these pithy little sayings about how to be good. And these are all good things. But Jesus goes one step deeper than just about humility, meaning being nice to people and being listening. Jesus goes here at the part that his two kind of premises here of this section is that humility is about serving others, number one. And the second one, it's about radical inclusivity, and he goes on to about who. So let's take a look at both these for a moment. Well, the ultimate service, serving one another, the ultimate example we have is Jesus himself. Jesus shows at the depth of his whole life was one of service, but in particular the washing of the feet is the sort of the pinnacle of service to others. Now, bear in mind whose feet he washed was all 12 disciples, including the one who was about to betray him, whom he knew was going to betray him. So bear that in mind, that this whole sense of service includes all. This radical inclusion gets built into this. So like that we serve not to be recognized, and he gave them a lesson in that, but also to serve all people who were in need. Now, that sounds so simple, but it's actually really quite radical for us to do it. Of course, the ultimate is Jesus' whole life is a testimony to humility. Because he, as Philippians will say, he who took the form was God, took the form of a human being. So he took the lowly position. And why? Because he loves us so much that he wanted us to know the best way through life. And this becomes his message, that his best way through life is when you serve other people and you bring joy to them. And those of us who have somehow managed to get into that groove on occasion where we serve somebody else for the sake of their goodness, we know the sense of fulfillment that is. Nobody else will ever know we may have even ever served them. But deep down, we know we did the right thing for the right reason. And that person has a better day because of it, or maybe even a better life because of what we have done. And it's that deep sense of gratitude that comes from that. And that's what Jesus was trying to show us. That this service, not for being recognized, not to be known for it, but to be recognized. Well, so the question then becomes, what is this virtue of humility, if you would, right? Well, first needs to become is a desire. Like, I mean, I think all of us would say, oh yeah, the virtue of humility. At first, we don't think it's something to aspire to. Because we don't think of humble people as necessarily being great people. Humble people, it's got a bad rap, humility, because it's sort of is associated with feebleness and sort of a almost a self-debasement, But that's not the real true definition of humility according to Scripture. Humility is that sense of service and not wanting recognition, but that we do it for the right reasons. So if we're going to be serious about this virtue, then we first thing we have to do is to desire it. Because we're never going to acquire it if we don't desire it. So the question then is, what do we do to desire this? Well, I think one of the ways to do it is to look for models of humility in our own lives. I think that's the best way to learn, is look for somebody who does it well, and then we model our lives after them. That becomes the desire, and then that leads to action. So I was trying to think of who's a really great model of humility. And I mean, I think we can think of all these great saints and great people, but I thought about it in my own life, and I think one of the greatest sense of humble people in my life was my own mother. I mean, she raised all our family and cooked a meal day after day after day for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Never once did she ever look for recognition. Never once was she saying, "Did you like that meal? Was that a good meal? How do I rate? Do I rate in your stars?" There was none of that. And then she would humbly clean up the dishes and get us to do our little part. But she did that day after day. Even when she was not able to do much, she continued to do what little she could. And I think mothers have a way of doing that. And we as children, especially young ones here today, is we take that so much for granted. That our mothers, you know, do the meal and do so much day in and day out. And we sort of forget their humble presence right in front of our eyes. The other example that came to mind was my sister, who cared for my mother for over 20 years. And as she sort of progressed in her illness, she continued to serve day after day. And like, she's one out of 12 children. Why her and not any of the other 12 of us? Because she did it out of complete humility. Never once did she ask for any recognition for it. Even still today, protest that there was anything big to do with it. And yet she humbly served day after day, especially as my mother got more ill and more ill and became more difficult. I thought to myself how incredibly powerful a witness of humility that is. And so I don't know, those are two examples in my life. I suspect you want to look at your own lives and look for if we're going to try to acquire humility, we first must desire humility. And to first have desire for humility, we need to have people in our lives that we want to model our lives after. People who we think model humility as a witness for us. So who is that person? Maybe it is your mother that served you for all those years. Or maybe it is a sibling who is taking care of your parents at this age. Or maybe it's a friend who you know who is a particularly powerful, humble person who just continues to do what they do. I think it's important that we think through who is somebody around us and then say, no, I desire that sense of humility in my life. And then follows the action of doing what we need to do. So today, as we come to the altar to be refreshed and renewed, to do service of others, to be humble service of others. But that's first desire it, to acquire it, and put it into action. Because the Lord says, those who humble themselves will be exalted.